This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Glad you joined us again for this weekend, and just thrilled that you came along in here with Bo Matthews. I'm Mark Cox. That is Carl Middleman.
Hi there.
Great to have you. Of course, the second weekend of deer season. We were going to talk about that more with our friend Tim Chelsvik just a little bit later in the show. But lots of fun. I was out from dark 30 to dusk on opening day. Bo Matthews, were you in the thought tub that day?
Probably twice. Yeah. But, you know, I've been communicating with my granddaughters and my daughter down in Texas, and they've been, you know, out at 4:45 in the morning. Now, I have to understand, are you out there with no technology, or are you sitting there fiddling with your phone waiting for the 100-pound squirrels to go by?
No, I have no technology. There's no, you're not,
you don't
allowed.
Bring your phone with you?
Well, I do have my phone. I know what you're talking about. I did bring my phone, but I don't have, I mean, I've used Rattles in the past to try to, it's just never worked for me for whatever reason.
No. It's I'm illegal. Just talking about distraction.
Oh, sure. Because when you're in the, when you're out there, the best way to silently communicate with your, in this case, my brother-in-law, my nephews who are in the woods with me, was via text, right?
Of course.
Have you seen anything? Was that you that just fired that shot? If you hear a shot off in the distance, and so sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, my daughter's a TikToker. She goes in, you know, on TikTok all the time, and I'm like, you're going to miss the big deer if you are messing with that.
I will admit that did happen to me last weekend. I did see a doe and a couple of young ones, and I was on my phone looking up DeerCast, in fact, and we'll talk to Tim Chelsvik about this coming up. And I glanced up from the screen, and not 25 yards in front of me, there were three deer, right? She was a small doe, and the ones trailing her looked even smaller, and I didn't have it in my heart to harvest that one, so I just let her go. They had no idea I was there, and they were probably 25 yards away from me, so.
It was probably their first date, too, so you don't want to interrupt that.
No, it wasn't what it was. I think it was a mom and two young ones, so we just let them go.
Hey, I want to throw out there, we've got two different raffles that we've been talking about on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'll be honest with you. I talked to Chuck Mayer, the president of our organization, Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, and it's still different because of the Biden economy, I would say. But are you guys down, too, on raffle tickets?
I think it's Bidenomics, maybe. You know, I haven't looked at where we were this time last year, because we wrapped things up the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So we're definitely getting down to the end. Usually there is a flurry of sales leading up to that Wednesday, and I'm hopeful that we'll get a little bit of a boost. I mean, you know, minimum purchase for ours is $10, and then you got a chance at three great prizes. So just I'll throw my pitch in. Text responder to 33100, and you have a chance to win a 9mm gun from the range at $2,100 value, an evening at Lit Cigar Lounge in the Valley. worth about $1,000 for you and 10 of your friends. And then the barrel of, a basket of booze, I should say, bourbon.
You said barrel.
All bourbon. I want a barrel. It's all bourbon. And there's some great stuff in there. People keep adding stuff to it. A Weller and Blanton's and the Weller Antique 107, which I'm donating myself. And just lots of Midwinter's Night Dram. Lots of great bourbon. If you can imagine good bourbon, I've got a ton of it. Lore Wine and Spirits have contributed. Nobleton's Distillery, Stolach, all of these people have come together, and it's probably $1,500 worth of delicious brown liquid that it'll be one of the three prizes.
Well, Responders Rescue really put together a slick way to get your tickets, because I got mine last week, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's literally texting 33100, is that what it is?
Yep, just text the word responder.
And yeah, boom, 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 you get your tickets. Of course, we're still using tickets, actual physical tickets for our drawing, so it's a little bit more difficult, but I'll just throw it out there. There's only 300 of these tickets sold. They are $100 a piece, and the ticket will stay in for all 12 drawings for the next year, and as some high-end guns. If you want to get one of my tickets, you have to reach out to me through Facebook Messenger, although I'm in Facebook jail because of our last drawing.
Oh, no.
They didn't even like me. I'm concerned about when you do your drawing, is it going to be on Facebook?
I don't, I mean,
they might shut you down.
I did get in trouble once for sharing a post from the Range St. Louis West. It was just a post about their customer appreciation days, and Facebook said I violated their community standards. Can you believe that? Thank you, Carl. Yeah.
So I'm thinking Zuckerberg isn't a supporter of our Constitution.
Of course not.
Our Second Amendment, and he doesn't want to support law enforcement? I mean, that's what we're doing here. We're supporting our first responders and our cops. Anyway, you want a ticket, reach out to me through Messenger, but next year we're going to get on board with your digital way to sell tickets.
I'm telling you, I've got my ticket for Bo's raffle as well. That's a great deal, because if you don't win the first one, you're in for the next 11. I mean, you have a little 12 chances to win. So, and the odds are low because there's only 300 tickets sold, right? That's a great deal.
Absolutely.
It really is. Through a Docs, right? Docs handling.
This is Docs Guns and Ammo. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right. So, Thanksgiving week, I'm hankering gravy and turkey.
Oh, yeah.
But we got a big show yet before we get through this weekend.
We do. And coming up, we're going to talk more about something that I wasn't even aware was even a thing until about a year ago. But there are regional high school bass fishing teams. We helped them out about a year ago. They got their big conference coming up again. We're going to talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. If you got a kid, if you know a teenager who loves to fish, they can go as an individual and attend this conference, whether they have a team or not. Maybe they can find a team there. And it's just you talk about a wholesome event. They're doing this at Vianney High School coming up in December. So we'll have all the details on that for you still in just a minute.
And we'll also have Tim Chelsvik from Drury Outdoors to discuss what's happening during deer season on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Alongside Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Oh my goodness, did you see the meme I sent to you guys about armed teachers and then armed librarians and the firearm
the
for
difference.
The librarian had a silencer on it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that awesome?
I loved it.
That was funny.
I bring that up because if you have ever wanted to suppress a firearm, Razorback Armory is where you want to go and get that process started. They've got the best selection. Purchased my first one there at Razorback and can't wait to get another. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. And we've got breaking news from Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox. Mark?
Yes, sir.
Your story, your breaking news story is...
I got a deer for the opening day of deer season, Bo Matthews. How about that? Are you excited? Not with my bumper.
I am excited.
Not with his car.
And you were crediting our guest here, Tim Chelsvik from Drury Outdoors, about this hunt. Were you just going to throw in the towel last year? Is that it?
I was not going to throw in the towel, but he said you just got to keep at it, right? And I just tried to remain encouraged, and that's a good thing. Tim, how are you, my friend?
Good, guys. Hey, what's that saying about a squirrel and a nut?
Blind squirrel.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So that's almost true, because I got in the stand at 5:20 in the morning, sat there, daylight came. I actually saw within an hour a doe and two young deer following her, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it because she wasn't a big doe, and the young ones looked like they were still depending on her. So I let her walk, and then I didn't see another deer all day. And it's I think sundown was 4:48 or something like that. And about 5 minutes after five, I heard a noise behind me. What I thought was a buck grunting. So it was behind me. And of course, I'm right-handed, and there's no way I could peek around the tree. So I repositioned my body and stepped down two steps on the tree stand so that I could look back over my shoulder. And I waited. Wow. And I'd been standing there for 10 minutes. I was just about to give up because I was coming close to the deadline where it would have been, you know, 30 minutes after sundown. And
were you
all
thinking
of a sudden,
it was a squirrel?
Well, you would think that because I saw a lot of 100-pound squirrels this weekend. And all of a sudden, coming up the trail behind me, coming toward me, I see a deer walking up through there. And I thought it was a large doe. And I decided I was going to harvest it, and I did, and found out it was a spike buck, which I felt kind of bad about. I mean, the rack was nothing to write home about, but it was a pretty good sized deer. I mean, I don't feel too bad about that, and you know, thank you. So I did get
I'm
a deer.
Impressed.
I didn't get the wall hanger that I was kind of hoping for, but nobody in our neck of the woods out there did very well last weekend in Warren County. So I don't know if it was just me or. There's a dog running around the property scaring the deer away. Something's going on, Tim.
Yeah, well, your experience is of people not necessarily getting the deer they want. The first weekend of the firearm season this year, the harvest total was down. We had over 68,000 deer killed during the first weekend of the November firearms portion. And that's down from the previous year. I know the Department of Conservation is saying that, you know, peak rut is somewhere around November 10th. And so because it was a week later this year, most of those bucks were probably locked down with does and they weren't doing a whole lot of traveling. There just wasn't a whole lot of movement in general. So, that I think had a suppressive effect on the overall numbers for this year's firearm season.
And what's your experience been, Tim? We want to know how you're outdoor, and we want to report about your kids, because is both of your kids hunting now or no?
They are, yeah. So my daughter Sophie is about to be 13, and my son Bo just turned 8, and both of them definitely want to kill a buck, and both of them have also busy social calendars, and they like to, you know, play video games and do stuff that normal kids do. So it's, you know, you don't want to push hunting on them. So I take them when they're ready to go. But my daughter, the first time I took her out was back in October. We popped up a blind back in the timber and it sat there for about a month or so. And I had pictures of a pretty nice 8-point buck coming through. And so she wanted to go out with the crossbow during archery season. And we had a small herd of does split us. You know, there were probably three or four in front of us and then four or five walked behind us. And I thought, man, we're toast. Because there wasn't much wind. So you knew that with the ones in front or the ones in back were going to wind us and blow the whole operation. By some miracle, they did not. They moved past and Mark, it was kind of like you were talking about, you know, you're watching your clock, you're watching your watch to see, you know, how much time do I have left here for shooting light? And it was getting down to the very end of the day and we saw some bucks come over the ridge. And again, we're back in the thick timber and one of them broke loose and started walking our direction. And I'm literally watching my watch. Like, do we really have enough time? Because not only was, you know, I wanted to make sure that we shot it within legal shooting light, but also I'm running cameras because we're filming all this and the cameras, they struggle in low light conditions. Anyway, this 8-pointer walked within 10 to 12 steps of the front of the blind. And I can kind of make it out in the, and it's dead silent. Not, you can hear a pin drop. And Sophie is hunched over the crossbow. And you normally, when you're filming a hunt, the shooter says, are you on him? Like, do you have, can I shoot? Are you ready? it was a command. She just said, "I'm shooting him." Whether you're on him or not, I'm shooting him. And thankfully, I did have the camera on the deer. She hit this deer with this NAP broadhead, the mechanical broadhead. I thought she spined him because he dropped immediately. And I thought, oh no, like this may not be a pretty sight, because you know, you spine a deer and they drop, but then they tend to roll around and thrash, and it can be hard to watch.
Yes.
But it was just such a good hit. She hit lung and then top of heart, and so pretty much severed off all the plumbing for the heart, and the deer just rolled and was done within probably 20 seconds. So she's been hunting for 6 years now, so she finally punched her buck tag. She put her time in, and you know, it's like you were saying, Mark, that you go and you go and you go, and you never know if something's going to happen. Well, you know, it eventually happened for her, so... I have
that's fantastic.
Taxidermy bill coming up that I'm going to have to pay.
of course you are. What does that cost these days, Tim? What did it, generally speaking, where you go?
It kind of depends. I use a place called Scenic Rivers, a taxidermy. They're down in Salem, Missouri, and they're about $600 for a shoulder mount, which is pretty reasonable. You could expect to spend between $600 and $1,000, and then you're kind of looking at different wait times based on how busy the place is. The earlier in the season that you get your deer to the taxidermist, the chances are you'll get it back a little sooner or later. They're stacked up with everything that came in before you.
Yeah.
So it could be a year or two out, but yeah, so that was great. And then I killed a buck. It was back in late October, early November with the bow.
Right.
And this deer, I was hunting out in Wildwood. And so, I hit it back. I was at full draw for a full minute before I was able to finally shoot, which was a lifetime. But there was no blood. There's very little blood. And he had walked onto the neighbor's property, possibly beyond. I didn't know. And I didn't have permission beyond the adjacent neighbor. So I contacted a drone recovery service. And this was the Missouri Drone Deer Recovery. The guy's name is Jack. And he had a thermal drone. So we went out the next morning, because I looked at DeerCast Track, and it told me wait 12 to 14 hours based on where you hit that deer. So I was like, okay, I backed out. It was in the evening. I assembled a crew of guys to come with, and Jack from Missouri Drone Deer Recovery came out. He put that thing up in the air, and within a minute had a thermal hit. He flew over to it, flipped from the thermal video to regular video, and it's this poor guy in camouflage with a crossbow sitting at the base of a tree looking up. it looked like a drone video from Afghanistan.
I'll bet. Except there were no goats involved.
Abort. And so we flew away from him, but 75 yards behind him, there was another hit on an adjacent property. He flipped over, and it was my deer laying on its back. Looking, you know, it was dead. It'd been dead for a while. So got permission from the property owner and went and recovered him, and it was great. But had we not had that thermal drone, you know, we would have had to knock on a lot of doors and covered a couple different properties. He only went about 100 yards, but that's, you know, that could be 2, 3, or 4 properties out in Wildwood.
Oh yeah. Well, I just sent Bo a picture. Tim, I wish I'd had your phone number. I would have texted it to you.
Not
too.
Happen,
so,
Mark.
So I get my deer, you know, I'm happy. I got a deer. I you know, you get the meat, you're happy. And it's just not much to look at because it was a spike buck. My phone vibrates and I pull it out and I look at it. It's after dark at this point, because I shot my deer right at just after sundown, so you have to field dress and all that stuff in the dark. And I finally pull my phone out and feel it vibrate. And my friend sent me this picture of his son, and he got one of the biggest, most beautiful deer I've ever seen It's a buck that, I mean, the rack is incredible. Maybe
Bo can,
looking at it right yeah, now. Bo just sent it to him.
And this was in, this was out near Fulton somewhere. My friend Steve Simpson, this is his son, and he goes, he's been tracking this thing since bow season, and he could never get close enough to it, so he's waiting for gun season to get here, and that's the deer he harvested. And I'm like, I am not even sending you a picture of mine after seeing that. I'm too embarrassed to share a picture of it.
Mark, you got looks like a Labrador.
Yeah, it would look like a golden retriever or something.
You know, it's funny you mention that because there's a lot of comparison and sometimes even envy and jealousy in deer hunting, and it can kind of put a damper on just how magical it is. Like, how any deer ever gets killed is kind of a small miracle. If you've ever done it, you know just how many factors have to come into play for you to encounter a deer, get a good clean shot on a deer, recover the deer. Like, all those things take a lot of effort. And so when we do kill a deer, whether it's a big one or a small one, it's kind of a miracle in my book that it happened. And I love it when people are very encouraging, like, hey, great deer, great job, looks like you had a great time. That's in general what I want for the hunting community, as opposed to people,
absolutely,
you know, having to feel like they have to excuse their deer. You shot the deer because it got you excited. So, you know, be okay with that, embrace that. And maybe next year you get a bigger one, maybe not, but it's just, we're kind of privileged to be able to go out into nature, into creation, and experience that whole piece. And then sometimes bring home some meat and a trophy also. So it's a pretty cool sport no matter what happens.
Tim, I got a question for you. Tim Chalsvik of Drury Outdoors. So this drone that you're talking about, that the heat sinking, what do you call it?
A thermal drone.
A thermal, yeah. Now, do they make those to find the deer, or is that only for recovery? Is that against the law?
It's only for recovery. I don't know the legalities on it, but it sure seems illegal to go. Like, I know for research purposes, you can do, because that's a big part of these thermal drone service, part of their business is they do herd counts on people's land.
Okay.
But my gut is that if you were to use it to actively pursue a deer, that would probably...
there's fish finders out there. There's fish finders. So, I mean, it's just technology, people. Plus, but I would steer people towards DeerCast, wouldn't you?
Yeah. DeerCast is going to help people kind of bring in the local weather conditions with the current phase of the deer season and give you a prediction as to how likely it is that deer will be on the move. Because that's kind of when you want to be out. And I know right now, it's a little tough, and if people are running cell cameras or trail cameras, they're probably not seeing as many deer as they were. But it's because mature bucks have found hot does, and they are tending them, and they're locked down in bedding cover. So if you can get out and with the right wind, hunt some of that thick stuff, you may not see a lot of deer. But if you have a hot doe walk past you, there's pretty good odds that she's going to have a good buck trailing her, and you could catch a buck that you've been after for a while that finally slips up and gives you an opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the definition of a hot doe? Can you please explain that? No,
she's in heat, right?
Yeah, I'm blushing.
Okay, sorry. She didn't have a club makeup on, and her hair's not dead.
A man loves a woman, Bo.
Okay,
oh, thanks, Tim. Oh, man.
Bo learns about the birds and the bees.
So on that issue, because you did talk about the rut coming earlier than normal this year, does the Missouri Department of Conservation care? I mean, will they look at that and say, you know, maybe we started the season a week too late this year and they'll back it up for next year? Or does it change every season and there's just no way to know?
Well, just to clarify, the rut didn't come early this year. Deer, like the firearms portion of deer season was a little bit late. the rut happens based on photo period, and that's based on astronomy, and it really doesn't change.
Okay.
It doesn't change based on weather, doesn't change based on anything. It always happens at the same time. It's just, I think, the way the calendar fell, I don't know exactly how they schedule these dates, but my gut is that just based on how the calendar fell, the season ended up a week past peak estrus.
Okay.
So that they'll probably look at that next year.
See, when a man loves a woman.
Yeah, I got
I'm
that
trying
part.
To warn I'm, him I'm, off, Tim.
I'm picturing non-hot dough. I'm picturing non-hot dough still in line to get in the club, and they just can't. Anyway.
It depends on the time of night, you know, like how late.
Yes, oh, my goodness. Yeah, if it's getting dark and you can't see real well, you know, you get the deer goggles on. You don't know what's going to happen.
Deer goggles. Wow.
Nice.
Good line, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl Middleman. I don't know where this is going. Tim, remind people where they can find out more about DeerCast, please.
And hot deer.
Sure. Yeah. We're on any app platform. So the Google Play Store or iOS. Or you can get DeerCast on your computer. Just go to DeerCast.com and access it there. Happy to have more people checking that out, because your time of field is precious. So if you have something that you can use to help plan your time out in the woods, why not?
It's a family event for the Chelsvik family. Our best to Bo and Sophie. Tim, always great to have you on the show, and sorry we went off the rails there a little bit. We'll talk again soon, brother.
Yeah, take care, guys.
All right, see you, Tim. Thank okay. you very much.
We better wrap this up now.
You made him blush. That Carl was nice.
Carl signaling me.
Yeah, that was great. More of this. More shows like this.
More like that, please. All right. I don't know that we can top that. We better get out of here while we're still ahead. Do you think, Bo?
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, because that's coming in quick. And are you going to go out? Are you going back out for another deer?
I will be out this weekend as this airs, at least one of the days. Yes.
Nice. All right.
Went out with my son. You bet. Thank you. Hey, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Hold on, before you go, final push on your tickets for your ATF raffle. Let's do that right now.
So because
I know we mentioned it at the front of the show.
I appreciate it. Just text responder to 33100 and you can get in, buy your tickets for the ATF raffle. Thousands of dollars in prizes, including a very nice 9mm rifle. And it all benefits Responder Rescue. Thank you, Bo.
And we still have tickets available. Yeah, absolutely. If we still have tickets for our Eureka Police Officer Support Fund Gun a Month Gun Raffle in 2025, they're $100. You can reach out to me through Facebook on Marketplace, or not Marketplace, through Messenger. Just find Bo Matthews. Have a great weekend, everybody.
See you, boys.
See you, boys. And you hot dough.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Coxon here along with my partner, Bo Matthews, producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And happy to have you along on this weekend. You know, with the weather taking the turn that it has here, finally, I know we may still get some temperatures in the 60s, I understand. It's kind of got you thinking about winter stuff, maybe not fishing so much, unless you got a fishing vacation plan. How about you, Bo?
It definitely reminds me of ice fishing when I grew up in Minnesota.
There you go.
But this what we're talking about is different. This conversation is way different.
Yeah, well, very, very, very different. Yeah, that's true. This is just fishing. If you love fishing and you've got a high school student or something coming up that you need to be aware of, because until we talked to these guys maybe last year, the year before, I didn't even know this was a thing. But we're coming up on the 4th annual Regional High School Bass Fishing Teams Conference on December 7th. So it's coming up in about a week, and we've got the founder and president, Pat Bowden, and Rod McGrew, who's the founder and vice president with the American Bass Fishing Alliance, with us right now. And gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a week out, and I'm looking at the flyer here for your regional school bass fishing conference, which is going to be down at Vianney High School in Kirkwood on December 7th. You've got a lot of sponsors that are going to be down there. This is a big deal.
Yes, it is. It's our fourth year, and we are just growing exponentially. And these kids are just in line for a big blessing. We have a great lineup of speakers. This year, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. We're hoping to do 200 to 250 students. We're still taking registration for this. It's not a walk up. It's by registration only. So we have some openings left. So Illinois and St. Louis surrounding area, you know, reach out to us.
And like Mark said, this is, since fishing is pretty much over with for the year, unless you have a fishing vacation planned or you're going to go ice fishing up north, this is kind of like a deer hunters training before deer season. You guys are training for 2025, and you've had a lot of kids in the last 4 years doing this. What's the big takeaway from them? Are they just pumped about it or just being exposed to fishing in a new way?
They're extremely excited about the programs that we offer them. The latest, greatest thing in fishing now is forward-facing sonar. And the kids nowadays are so used to video games, the forward-facing sonar is just second nature to them once they get into it. You know, and that's where you're looking ahead and you're seeing the bass on the sonar and you're actually fishing for that particular bass. And we do what we can to bring them up to date on the latest and greatest things in that.
Hey, do they make that forward facing sonar for deer hunting? Because I'd sure like to know where those deer are.
Oh, brother, I'm with you.
I agree.
It's been a tough season.
Almost seems like cheating. I don't know. No, so you're going to have presentations on that coming up that day, right, where people can learn more about it?
Correct. We have five speakers coming in. Trey McKinney, he is our 2024 Bass Elite Series Rookie of the Year. Drew Gill, another big hitter out there, Angler of the Year for Major League Fishing. Brock Bila, local regional pro. Pete Winters from down on Table Rock, he's going to be there to speak to these kids. Jim Crowley, my buddy from Slickfish Radio, he's going to be there teaching kids. They're all going to be taught different topics so that it's not a cookie cutter. You go from class one to class two and they're the same thing. All these guys are going to be teaching on separate things. Mike Del Visco, another pro, with a company called Get Sonar, where he packages out tools to teach high school students on how to better use electronics. Plus, we have our electronic companies, three of them coming in to teach the coaches and the boat captains. It's just amazing. A big free raffle.
Yeah,
we do a big free raffle at the end of the thing, and you can tell we had a lot of sponsors step up. And they have no idea what they're going to get. It's just so exciting. Big prizes. Every kid gets a bag of goodies to take home with them. Plus, we got free lunch for everyone who's going to be there. And thanks to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, you got to love that. Gentlemen, real quick, you did mention boat captains. What does that mean? In our notes, it says, as well as attending boat captains. Is that boat captain training for boating, or what is that?
Now that the way tournaments run for these youngsters is 90% of them don't own boats. So they have to get people to run the boats for them, and those are the boat captains. They go where the students want them to go as far as fishing, but yeah, they are the captain of the boat. They're responsible for the boat and the operation of the boat. And we're giving them information on using the sonars and that as well, and just general information to help the student anglers.
Yeah, Pat Bowden and Rod McGrew with us from the American Bass Fishing Alliance. I you guys opened my eyes to this a couple years ago when we had you on, and talk about the growth. I mean, obviously you're trying to let people know that this is out there. There may be kids listening to the radio or their parents this weekend who didn't know there was a Bass Fishing Alliance or that there was a regional high school conference being held coming up in December. We may be opening some eyes. Tell them a little bit more about that opportunity and maybe how widespread, how many high schools locally have teams?
It's great. In the St. Louis metropolitan area, Illinois, we covered a 250-mile radius, with St. Louis being the center of that, reaching out to Illinois and reaching out to Missouri, southern Missouri. 62 to 65 schools we reached out to, combined both sides of the river, just to get teams to sign up. We've got major help coming from Illinois for next year. That's going to boost our student count up quite a bit. We might have to change venue. But, yeah, it's grown. I don't know. What do you think, Rod?
Oh, it is growing tremendously. In fact, this year we had an inquiry. A young man from New York is trying to attend this year.
Wow.
So it's we've got a great advertisement going through you guys, through our flyers. And, yeah, it's just a tremendous opportunity. And all this is done for the kids. All this is done for the kids.
What we want to do, part of what we're doing is, you know, of course, we give them some things to work on off-season. Vendors are there. We have, like, 20 vendors that are going to be there, and they'll sell their goods, kind of help the kids know what's working right now, what may work better in the spring, you know, things like that going on. But we want to give them a leg up, because what happens is that these kids are fishing really, really hard, and they fish multi-states. They're not just in Missouri or Illinois. Right. They fish all over. With that being said, we want to give them an opportunity and give them more training to keep them fishing so that they could get a free ride to one of the colleges like Drury or McKendree or Montevallo, Murray State University. All these colleges give free rides to these young bass anglers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is great. This is all about, you know, teaching a man to fish, right? But speaking of, is there a mix of boys and girls, or is this strictly just a boys event?
It's mixed. I would say it leans a little heavier to the boys, but we do have young girls that are out there fishing just as hard and just as formidable in a tournament. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. My grandma Martha, man, she was the best fisher person of our whole family, and she shamed a lot of us. But, you know, when it comes to even shooting sports, women have a steadier hand sometimes. I don't know what it is. So it is a reservation event. You have to get in. What's the cost of this for the kids that want to come to it?
Okay. All right. So what they'll need to do is they'll reach out to us at AmericanBassFishingAlliance@gmail.com. Or they can go out to our website, which is abfa.info. They can request some information there. We'll show them how to get signed up. Even if it's individuals, we'll hook them up with another school that has a team and slide them in with them for that day.
Yeah, cost to attend is $10 for students.
Oh, boy, that's nothing.
That's dirt cheap.
That's really cool you guys are doing that.
It's unheard of, and we're doing that just to get more just to have more kids show up. $15 right. for boat captains and coaches, of course, we're letting them come in for free.
Yeah. From what we've determined, this is the largest event of its type in the country.
In the country. Yep.
That's fantastic. I mean, you can't even buy lunch for $10 these days, and they're getting lunch along with a goodie bag and all the other great information. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're looking forward to it, gentlemen. Again, Saturday, December 7th. So coming up here shortly at Vianney High School, go ahead and reach out to them there and let them know you're interested. AmericanBassFishingAlliance@gmail.com is probably one of the best ways to get a hold of them, or go to their their website there, right?
It's ABFA.
Okay.
.info. INFO.
All right. That should be easy, and that'll give people an idea. Maybe you know, you spur some new interest this year. You're expecting upwards of 300 people, right?
Well, we capped it at 200 to 250 students, and then, of course, all the boat captains and coaches and vendors. So it's going to be pushing 300.
Well, get in while you can. Absolutely, for sure. Pat and Rod, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us, and best of luck.
Hey, thank you guys for having
us. Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure.
Hopefully we'll see you next year.
All right. Thank you very much. Yep. We'll talk again. That's great, Bo. I mean, what an opportunity for kids. And talk to my nephew about it before. I don't think they have a team at his school, but I've encouraged him to attend because he's just, if he's not tied up playing sports of some sort, he's wet in the line. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Even in his neighborhood, there's a little pond that's got some fish in it, and he'll be down there with a line in the water.
And they credit us having them on before that has made this so successful.
Oh, good. That's
dang right.
We need to take credit.
There you go. That sounds good.
That's right.
Well, I know the guy that's coming up next, Tim Kelswick from Drury Outdoors, is going to be in here, and I got to give the guy credit. He encouraged me to climb back in the tree stand and give it one more try.
And?
I got one.
You did?
I did. We can talk about it next. We'll get Tim on here and talk about deer season. And I think reports from the first weekend were a little lower. The number of deer were down a little bit from what I initially read. I don't know if that's changed or not. We'll get the lowdown from Tim coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.